And that is a hymn we're going to be talking about here on Law and Gospel on this October the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2015. And as is our custom on Tuesdays, we always like to talk about a hymn. And of course, with us is our good friend Mark. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we still have our good friend Mark, but the last name isn't Smith. It's Laverty. Hello.
Good morning, Tom.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me today.
Yes, you're better dressed than Mark Smith normally is, but
got to keep up with you.
Oh, yeah, sure. We have a busy morning. We have this 9:30 program. Then at 10 o'clock, I'm preaching here. Then at 11 o'clock, I'm at Emmanuel Olivet to do parables. And that's at 9733 Olive Boulevard, 11 a.m. this morning. And unfortunately, I'm going to therefore miss Mark Laverty's playing at both 11:30 a.m. and 12:30 a.m.
P.M.
P.M., that's right. 11:30 a.m. and then right after the noon. And what are you doing, playing the flute or something?
No. I just learned how to play the piano.
You just learned how to play the piano. This is one of these individuals who has put in 10,000 hours, and that's why he plays at symphonies.
Don't remind me.
Oh, wow. And tell me the background, how you got to play here today.
Well, I've played here a number of times on various occasions, and I just thought it was time to come and play again, and I came upon in my musical studies a tremendous piece of music by Franz Liszt, and it's called Variations on a Theme from Weinen, Klagen, Sorgen, Sagen. It's a very famous piano piece, and it's a very difficult piece of music, and I thought that I should learn it because a lot of great pianists have played it. And then, lo and behold, at the end of this piece, which is very complex, emerges this chorale, Lutheran chorale, What God Ordains is Always Good, arranged by Franz Liszt. And it starts out very simple, like you would hear in a church, very simple hymn arrangement. And then it just grows into this dramatic piece of piano music. And so it makes a nice little prelude for that hymn. And that's what we're going to do today in both of these little 30-minute concerts. I'm going to play this piece, and it lasts about a minute and a half or so. And then we'll go right into a hymn sing of What God Ordains is Always Good.
You're well known for playing Bach. Is this related, this Liszt piece, at all to Bach?
Well, thanks for asking. Yes, it is. The German name that I just mentioned, Weinen, Klagen, Sorgen, Sagen, and those words in English mean weeping, lamenting, worrying, and fearing. Liszt borrowed a melody that Bach had written for one of his cantatas, and it's a very sorrowful, a lamenting melody that he used in a cantata and that he also used in his Mass in B minor. And it in the Mass in B minor, he relates this to the suffering and dying of Christ.
Yes.
And so the reason that Liszt chose this piece, well, there's one, the melody from Weinen, Klagen, and that's a very sorrowful thing. And the reason he chose that, to borrow that from Bach, is because he lost two of his children to death when they were at young ages. I think they were adults, but nevertheless, he lost two of his children. And then he also lost his good friend, Richard Wagner. And so he expressed his feelings in this piece called Variations on a Theme from Bach's piece. And then he uses, he borrows the Lutheran chorale, What God Ordains is Always Good, which I think makes a nice segue from Bach to Liszt.
Now, in our hymnal, What God Ordains is Always Good, and I'm talking about the Lutheran service book on hymn 760, it says the tune was by Severus Gastorius, who died in 1682.
Correct.
Why don't they have Bach there? Or did Bach
Well, Bach didn't write this melody, chorale, no.
Okay.
It's just that Liszt uses this chorale, this hymn melody, at the end of this piece that Bach wrote. He wrote the main melody for it.
He wrote the main melody?
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, these two gentlemen, Gastorius, who wrote the tune, the melody, What God Ordains Is Always Good, and the other gentleman who wrote the words, Samuel Radagast, predated Bach by just a few decades.
Yeah, he died in 1708. And so Bach picked this up.
Well, Bach certainly has used this tune, but it's Liszt who used it in his piano piece.
And that's what you're going to be playing.
That's what I will play today.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, the words are pretty good here. Do you prefer to use the words from the hymnal or what you've written out here?
No, the hymnal is fine.
Okay. Let me read the first stanza.
Certainly.
What God ordains is always good. His will is just and holy. As he directs my life for me, I follow meek and lowly. My God indeed in every need knows well how he will shield me. To him then I will yield me. Now, what do you think is important about that first stanza?
Well, what jumps out at me is the second line, as he directs my life. We think we're in charge. We scamper around. We make our coffee, have our breakfast. We practice the piano. We write our sermons or whatever we do. But he's really directing our lives. And we often forget that.
Now, when you say he directs our lives, are you saying we have no choice then in what we're going to be doing?
Well, we have a choice, but we always choose the wrong things.
Often. Well, when you go sit down and play the piano, that's not wrong.
No, but that's God moving me to do that.
Yeah, that's right. In other words, what's happening here is that you would be totally unable to play the piano if God didn't help your fingers to work, etc. I'm always amazed. Are you going to be reading notes during this?
Yes, I'm going to use the notes this morning.
This morning,
yeah.
Because a lot of times you don't, and I just can't remember. I mean, I play the piano. I had 12 years of instruction, but I'm not anywhere near you. And it's just really amazing, the gifts that God gives certain people. I guess it's because of a lot of practice.
Yeah, a little practice, a little research. But you also have to kind of be wired to be a musician.
How so?
Well, you...
You have to have an ear?
Well, yeah, but you have to... And it's kind of a... It might be a fault. I'm hypersensitive about almost everything. How I look, how I feel, how my car looks, you know, how people look at me.
Why is that good for a musician?
Well, you have to be sensitive emotionally to the music to bring out the emotions that are in the music. Every piece of music has an emotional content to it. And a musician has to be very sensitive to that so that he can be the medium to convey that to the congregation or to the audience or whatever. And frequently the music reflects what the text is saying.
I've seen that in organists. I preach every Sunday all over the country. And it's kind of interesting that some organists, it's just easier to sing as they're playing for some reason. Other organists, it's difficult to sing. I know when I play the piano, it's more difficult for them to sing when I'm playing along because I'm so concerned about hitting the right notes that a lot of times I'm not really looking at what you're talking about. So that's kind of a gift. Now, you do teach students to play the piano, don't you?
Yes, I have about 15 students I see once a week. And they come to my home studio, and they're just phenomenal. The fact that they walk in every week is just a tremendous blessing for me and for them, too, to learn music.
If somebody out there was thinking of having their child begin to learn to play the piano, what age should they be thinking about?
Well, it varies from child to child. My teacher, one of my professors, started at age 3, and so some students are very precocious and very intelligent. You know, they can read letters and words in their twos and threes, and if they're at that point, that's about the time that you can start music.
If somebody listening wants to talk to you about the possibility of bringing on another student or so, how do they contact you?
Well, they could email me at mark@marklaverty.com.
And that's L-A-V-E-R-T-Y.
Exactly.
Mark@marklaverty.com.
And I'm on Facebook, Mark Laverty Facebook, and I have a website, marklaverty.com.
Okay, Mark Laverty.
Or they can contact me over at Zion Lutheran Church. I'm the music director over there in Maryland Heights.
Do you have the number off the top of your head?
314-739-6121.
Yeah, the reason we need to give out numbers is sometimes we're talking to people who don't even own a computer.
Right.
And so there's no way to get a hold of you those first three ways.
Sure.
But you would help a student come. Can you tell if a student is going to be okay on the piano from the beginning, or is it difficult to do that?
No, it's not. The first thing is they have to kind of be receptive to instruction.
Yes. Right.
And I was just telling someone the other day that most of the students I've had over my teaching career, I would say probably in the 90% range, they can all play music, sing music, or make music. But it's like the tiny 5% that just somehow they can't get it. They can't get the rhythms. They can't make their fingers coordinate properly. But it's the overwhelming majority that can make music for sure.
In fact, I play the piano, and I even took organ instruction from a Dr. Felber at Ann Arbor when I was there. But I cannot get my feet to do the pedals right. I can race a car, a stick shift, but I can't do the pedals. And then there really is a difference between piano and organ. Like, for instance, if you have the same note on an organ, you just hold it down, whereas a piano, you have to hit it each time.
Right, right.
Yeah, things like that.
Yeah, the piano sound decays.
So if they want to worship, are you playing this Sunday at Zion?
I am, yes. In fact, our choir is singing at both services, and I'll direct the choir. And we're not singing this hymn that I know of, we will be singing Psalm 103, I believe, is what we're singing.
And the address for Zion, in case they want to come hear you?
Our church, again, is in Maryland Heights. It's at 12075 Dorset Road.
And the worship services times.
Thank you. 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. And, of course, we have Bible study between those services. And we have a nice, always have a tremendous breakfast, either Danish and donuts and coffee and juice. Or like last Sunday, our youth sponsored a great pancake and bacon and sausage breakfast for us.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed you also do lecturing, and we talked about one you had done not recently. What do you lecture about?
Remind me what the lecture that was.
Yeah, it was at the Northwest Missouri State University.
Oh, yes. I had the privilege to play up there, and they wanted me to do a lecture and a master class. And so that gave me, obviously, Northwest Missouri State is a public university. In Maryville, Missouri, and I had never been up to that part of our state, so it was a real honor, even though it was about 5 degrees back in February. So they wanted an all Bach presentation.
Okay.
So I did a lecture for about 45 minutes or an hour, and because Bach is so religious and related to Lutheranism, it was my opportunity to, as I could, witness to his life and what Bach was about and the fact that he was a Christian. And I can't remember specifically how I did that, but I wove that into my presentation, and hopefully that had some effect.
All his pieces, don't they have a Latin after it, to the glory of God?
Soli Deo Gloria, sure.
Yeah, yes. To the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And therefore, while you were witnessing about Bach, Bach is always witnessing about Jesus in just about everything he does.
Yes, and taking us back to the program that I'll play today, as I mentioned to you earlier, these are two very different composers. Bach was in the Baroque period, and Liszt was in the Romantic period. And the Romantic period was one that was very effusive of emotions. Composers wore their heart on their sleeve. They were hypersensitive. These most musicians are. And but
the Baroque period wasn't?
Well, they were more objective, more reserved, refined in expressing the emotions in music. In Romantic music, it's very obvious, the emotional content, whereas in Baroque and classical, it's a little more, I don't know if obscured is the correct word, but it's a little more refined. But in any event, Liszt was of the Roman Catholic origin, and Bach, of course, was Lutheran. But Liszt led a very flamboyant kind of, not always the proper life, let's put it that way. He was a little bit of a womanizer, if I can say that on the radio here. And late in his life, he turned more religious and took the Catholic orders to become a priest.
Really?
Perhaps because of some of his lifestyle choices. But nevertheless, he's a tremendous musician, and I respect both composers, but the more I study them, I come to the conclusion that Bach was the greatest composer of all, because...
Well, I was just going to ask you, on a scale of 100 composers, would Bach be around 50 or 60 or what?
Oh, I think he'd be number one.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Well, all of the other composers, the great ones, Chopin, Liszt, Mozart... They all revered his music and acknowledged the complexity and difficulty of it. And if they do that, then I certainly have to do that. And they are choosing Bach over themselves. So I think that is a clear indication he's the best. And then also for me as a Lutheran, a lifelong Lutheran, to be able to say, well, here's my favorite composer. And guess what? He was Lutheran. He was a Christian. And that is very inspiring for me.
Do you recall what set of books he had in his library?
Well, he had a lot of books in his library, but he had Luther's works.
That's right. That's
for
what
sure.
I'm thinking of. Yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, I have been the what we call the Weimar edition. It wasn't translated into English yet.
Probably not, yeah.
Because they spoke German.
Yes. Well, and Bach, I'm sure, was well acquainted with Latin. He was an excellent academic student and scholar in his young years, even though he lost his parents both at the age of 10. He had no parents after that, but he excelled tremendously in his studies and learned probably Greek and Latin.
With many people getting concerned when a service goes over an hour, how possibly did Bach have a cantata? Did he do that every week?
Yes, it wasn't throughout his whole life. I think it was a period of about 5 years that he that he wrote these cantatas, and he was cranking them out vigorously.
And who were the singers?
Well, I think primarily it was children who were doing the high voices and men who were doing the lower voices, because they didn't allow women to be in the choir loft.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How about instruments? What kind of, did he have more than an organ?
Oh, yeah. He would have a small little chamber orchestra of string instruments and wind instruments, and I think probably some percussion too, timpani and things.
Yes. So what's your favorite Bach piece?
Oh, my. well, right now it's this English Suite in G minor that I'm going to play for the folks here at the Missouri Synod headquarters.
Right. And Missouri Synod headquarters, 1333 South Kirkwood. And Mark Laverty is going to be playing both at 11:30 a.m. That's in the morning. And that'll be till noon. And then again at 12:30 p.m. till 1 o'clock. And are you going to be talking to them before you play a little bit?
I'm going to relate some of these things about the Liszt piece and how it relates to Bach, and then the fact that Liszt lost these close relatives and friend, and then relate that to the hymn, of course.
Yes. The fact of the matter is that these pieces would be considered as, what, classical music?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Right.
Yes.
And we talked about this one other time. There were subways, I believe it is in Seattle, where they had music, but it was kind of rap and rock, and there were a number of fights and this kind of thing. They changed it to classical music in the buses and the subway, and the fighting just diminished quite a bit. Why? How do you explain that?
Well, I feel strongly that classical music of all the genres, jazz and blues and rock and what have you, I think classical is the most refined and is conducive to, what should I say, calming someone's spirit or soul. And so I think it helps to make people more calm and peaceful, and this is why I play the music, because I think it helps us to be more sensitive to one another. If there's ever a time when we need that, it's in this day and age. Classical music helps you step back and just for 30 minutes or an hour listen to this music and be affected by it. And of course, we know that music is a gift from God, and he uses it to bless us and to calm us.
Yeah, I was like thinking that there's three uses of God's law: curb, mirror, and rule. But it's important to understand that the curb is God's way of keeping peace. He uses the government to curb wickedness, but he does it not just in a negative way, threat of punishment, but also hope of reward. And I believe, therefore, that classical music is a part of the first use of God, because as it is played, what comes over people is less and less of a desire to sin, do violence, and this sort of thing. So it's actually a part of God's way of keeping peace in the world.
Yes, I certainly agree.
Any final statements before?
Could I just read the last stanza?
Go ahead.
Stanza 6. What God ordains is always good. This truth remains unshaken. Though sorrow, need, or death be mine, I shall not be forsaken. I fear no harm, for with his arm he shall embrace and shield me. So to my God I yield me. Amen.
Amen. So we encourage you to, if at all in the area, to come here to Synod's headquarters, 11:30 a.m. and 12:30. And if you're real close, 10 a.m., I'm about to preach. And that's why we're going to let things go. Tomorrow's Insight Wednesday. It will continue, but at this point, we want you to hear a little bit more of what God ordains is always good.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.